I am Sandy Max, and I am so delighted to have a special guest in the studio with me who has created a film I think everyone should see just based on the title alone. I am thrilled to welcome to the WTMJ studio filmmaker and creative Pam Percy. Pam, welcome.
It was wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
And what is the name of your third documentary?
It's Brava, A Titillating History of Bras.
And we can all see this Thursday at the Oriental Theater, Brava, on the big screen.
Yeah, it's going to be such a fun night. There are three events that night. Victor DiLorenzo is premiering his film. And then after that, we're going to see Brava. And we're going to end the evening with a fantastic style show of 22 original bras made by local artists. Karen Valentine is hosting, and it's going to be just a riot.
This is truly an event. So you've got a short film, then the feature film, then a fashion show of all the creative bras.
And we're expecting many of the people in the audience to wear their own creations. So after the fashion show, we are planning to have sort of a Brava march around the Oriental Theater.
Strut your stuff like a conga line.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Pam, before we get into Brava, A Titillating History of Bras, which I'm sure you're now a wealth of knowledge on, tell me about the other two documentaries that you have made.
Okay.
So far,
yes. I started filmmaking just 6 years ago.
Really?
Yes. I actually got into it in a rather sad way. My husband passed away, Martin Hintz, and he had wanted to make a film about his father, Loren Hintz, who died at the very end of World War II as a P-47 pilot. So he wanted to make this film, and then after he passed away, there was really nobody else to make it. So I had never made a film before, and I'm very good at taking chances. So I just stepped right in and started writing it. And luckily, there was a wealth of information. Loren Hintz was a poet, a writer. He died at 27, but until then, there was so many family photos. So I was able to read diaries and create the beginning of his life until he passed away at 27 years old.
What a tribute to him to be able to finish this documentary.
Right, right.
And to your husband.
Yeah, it was for him.
And a great way to preserve important history, especially World War II history.
Right, exactly. And the second part of the film, the first part is his life, and the second part is the excavation. So 75 years after the plane crashed, they kind of knew where the plane went down, but they really didn't. So the family started working with archaeologists and Italians to pinpoint where the plane went down.
It's like a mystery as well.
I know. And so once they finally determined, they excavated the site and not only found his plane, but they found his dog tags intact and his bones and other personal items. So it was quite moving. So they found Loren.
Wow.
75 years later.
What a gift you've given to your family.
Yes, yes, they are.
And again, to the world, to preserve this history and understand the humanity of this as well, and to have that mystery out there for so many years.
Yes.
And that you provided that.
Right. And, you know, the sadness and the horror of war. It was such a wasted life. He was so talented. And to pass away at 27 was just tragic. And Marty, my husband, never met him. And that was another tragedy. So this was a way to sort of bring his life to reality.
What a story to tell.
It was. And I made it during COVID. So there was an extra element of emotions, as you can imagine.
Pam Percy, that's your first documentary, something so important and meaty and historical and heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your second documentary. How do you follow that up?
Exactly. I just want to say, though, I worked with Claudia Luce, who is a fabulous filmmaker.
She's partnered with John Gerd on so many documentaries.
I know. And she was great to work with. So the two of us made the film together.
Oh, yes. I love that collaboration.
Yes, yes, it was. It was definitely. So the second one, Chicken City, I have been...
I'm sorry, say that again?
Chicken City.
I thought, Chicken City.
It's a history of chickens. It had nothing to do with how to raise chickens, but it's the history of chickens in art and culture and film and even religion. And it's animated, and it takes place in a fictitious world of buildings, Chicken City. So there's Roosevelt Academy and the Eggenheim Museum. And so you go into these places and learn about the importance of chickens in art and history and literature. It's quite different.
Oh, Pam, you can't enter a documentary like that, especially in such a creative way and lean all the way into the theme, without having a passion for chickens yourself.
Oh, I did, indeed.
What was the actual inspiration to lean all the way into this? Other than I can think it must have been a light and bright palate cleanser from the heaviness of the World War II documentary.
It was. Definitely. I lived on a farm for 35 years and raised chickens. And in about 2001, I realized that there wasn't a book about chickens in art and history and culture. So I decided to write my first book, and it's called The Complete Chicken. It's published in 2001. Voyager Press published it. So all that research, and there was a lot of research, went into making the film. So
I immediately think of history, that France completely embraces the
chicken
as a symbol for
the
their country.
Yes, the cock. Galois.
And then when I moved into the house that I live in now, the entire decor of the kitchen were roosters everywhere.
That's quite common.
I mean, everywhere.
It's good luck to have a chicken image in your house. So
the kitchen was full of them.
That's been a lot of good luck then.
a lucky house. And then I'm also thinking out a visit to Lisbon, Portugal.
Oh, yes.
They have
with the vase.
Chicken iconography.
Exactly.
So there is a lot in culture that I hadn't really thought of.
And when you see this film, you'll realize it's everywhere. So I started collecting anything that looked like a chicken. My collection got overwhelming. The house was just full of chickens. Now I have purged.
It's
not full
collection.
Of bras, but it's full. But the chicken collection has been culled.
I like that you mentioned bras. So that gets us into the next subject. Here with Pam Percy to talk about her third documentary called Brava, A Titillating History of Bras. So we've talked about World War II, your first documentary. We've talked about Chicken City, your second documentary that is very lighthearted and exploring the cultural significance of the chicken all around the world.
Right.
Now, what's your path to go from those two documentaries into making a film all about the history of bras?
Yeah. Well, I don't sleep very well, and I come up with some crazy ideas. And one was to create a sort of a Cinderella story where instead of leaving a slipper, she leaves her bra. So that was the initial thought.
At someone's home.
Yeah. Yes.
So it sounds like there might have been some fun had at this home.
There definitely was.
There's the basis there. But how do you turn that fun moment into a full history?
So instead of going around and looking for someone to fit the bra, Bob, who's the main character in the film, he becomes obsessed with bras. So as an animated character, he goes to a store called Bras R Us and starts talking to the shopkeeper. So she relates the history of bras, and then he sort of counters it with poems that I wrote, or verses. The film has music, animation, lyrics, and it's a love story. So it's got everything.
I would say it's a different approach storytelling.
Very,
And you were talking about creating this fictional city for Chicken City.
Right.
And then going very, very factual with historical footage for your World War II video. So you're not storytelling the same way. You don't have a formula for your stories on film.
The formula is to teach through entertainment and to have fun with the subject. You'll learn a lot about bras, but you'll also have a lot of fun watching the film. So,
Speaking about learning about bras, what surprised you most when you were digging into the history?
That the styles have changed so much throughout the ages. It started back in the Roman times, which is where everything seems to have started.
And underneath our togas, we had support?
They were called strophiums. It was basically just a strap. And then in the Middle Ages, the corset was developed, and that lasted for quite a while, all different styles of corsets. Then after the corsets came another style. There was a movement against corsets because it was felt that they weren't good for the body. They were too tight.
Constricting, yeah.
Yeah, nobody liked corsets. So the next phase was the flapper era after the war. And that style was to be bustless, hipless, and waistless. So it sort of had an androgynous look. So
No curves.
No curves. And so then the style was to flatten the chest.
Yeah.
And that lasted a while. And then again, they felt that all that binding wasn't good for the human body. So they sort of moved away from that. And then they got into Hollywood influence, the sweater girls, and the war influenced bullet bras and torpedo bras. So after that phase, breasts became bigger. I'm not sure how to say that.
I don't know that that's a trend that has gone away ever since then. I think we're still in that trend.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just so funny that that bullet and that conical shape is not natural at all.
Right.
And that becomes the beauty aesthetic to aspire to for several decades.
Exactly, yeah. The film also tells all the different people that developed the bra. There were very, very many in America, in France, and things were added, structures, bones, underwires. So things developed over the ages, all the different types of bras.
And do we trace it back to a person in history who started? Is it a woman who was like, okay, enough? These are in my way? Or is it a man who went, I think you should be packaged differently?
Yes.
Do you have?
There isn't one particular person. There were a lot of people. It wasn't Otto Titzlinger. Do you remember that?
Don't.
Oh. He was a fictitious person who claimed that he created the bra.
But that was his real name?
No, it was a book.
Okay. It reminds me, who invented the commode? Like Thomas J. Crapper?
So, yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's myth or accuracy or not. But it's just, that's why you have Brava, a titillating history of bras. These are subjects that bring out the giggles.
Yeah.
But they're a part of everyday life. They are part of the human body. And if you're a female, in particular, you have your own bra history.
Exactly.
And it's a rite of passage for you. This is a really big cultural thing.
We talk
thing.
About training bras. And,
I remember my...
Remember, we must...
Mine.
We must...
And we must increase our bust.
Yeah.
And the myths of... Well, I don't know if it's a myth, but we were told if you take a very cold shower, that would stimulate growth. You know. Oh, yeah.
That one I don't know.
Oh, well, I don't think it worked, but that's... I don't recommend it, you know.
How about the pencil test?
What's the pencil test?
Well, if you put a pencil under your breast and it falls, then you need a bra. And if it doesn't, you don't.
Okay.
Yes. Ann Landers just created that one.
Your cups. But you know, this is such a part of one's femininity and one's identity, and they are important to both sexes.
Yeah. Men like bras.
Exactly. And that's why you're encouraging people to wear creative bras on May 14th on Thursday, the screening of Brava, A Titillating History of Bras at the Oriental Theater starts at 6. People are welcome to come in.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen your documentary on the big screen yet?
I did. It was fabulous.
Cool.
Yeah. I had only seen it on my computer probably 100 times. But when I saw it on the big screen, it was almost emotional. It looked really good. It looked great.
Well, you get to experience it again at the historic Oriental Theater.
Yes.
With a fun group of people. Now, I'm interested in finding out, just talking about, you know, bras are important to men and women.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling the story through Bob.
Bob, yes. Yes.
In a playful way.
Mm-hmm.
Why tell this story from a man's perspective?
It was just sort of his curiosity and naivete, and it fit with the story. It was like he wanted to know all about bras. So, because he was lamenting the fact that Bravette left him. And it is a love story, so spoiler alert, she does come back in the end.
Are you sure you want to spoil that? Or is that also encapsulating the vibe that you want with this documentary? What do you want people to take away after they see Brava?
Well, they'll learn about the history of bras, but I want them to just sort of have a happy, fun, loving experience. And I think they will. The songs are beautiful. There are three original songs. One was written by John Seeger, who sings with Robin Plurer.
Oh, two very well-known local musicians.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
I feel like Robin Plurer's voice only keeps getting better.
Yeah, it really does. She also plays the role of Bravette.
Oh, my.
Yes.
And for talking about local music, you will recognize the narrator's voice of Brava.
Yes. Victor DiLorenzo is the narrator.
Violent Femmes. Normally known for his drumming, but...
He's got a beautiful voice.
And very poetic.
Yes.
And was the lyrical poetry of this film important to you as well?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. I don't think of myself as a poet. But once I started writing the verse, I couldn't stop. It just kept flowing and flowing. And telling an historical story, too, was fun and challenging. So I had a really good time writing this and researching the history of bras, too. I didn't find any books on it, so it was mostly internet research. But you can do deep, deep dives and find out a lot on the internet about the history of bras.
You've written a book about chickens and culture. Do you feel now that you could write a book about the history of bras?
Sure. I probably could, yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
What are some of the other things you have done? Because you mentioned you just started getting into documentary filmmaking in the past 6 years, and you've had what a great library you've created so far. Tell us about your creative journey so far leading up to Brava.
Well, I think this is my 7th job. I keep reinventing myself. And I think the secret is to just take chances and just do it. So I've done everything from being an organic farmer to co-writing with my late husband, Boris and Doris, on the town for the Shepherd Express.
Oh! The curtain has been revealed.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Pay no attention to the woman behind the curtain. So you were Doris.
I was Doris, yes, yes.
Those were fun columns.
Those were. We had a blast writing those.
And it was for those who don't know, what was Boris and Doris on the town?
Well, sort of a gossip.
And we're missing that now.
I know it. When we became farmers, it just became too much work because we would have to go out 3 nights a week.
So I would say, I interrupted you. Sorry, it was a gossip column.
It was a gossip column.
But out on the town, like, so you would go out, three nights a week?
Yeah, and we would just see who was there and, you know, sort of try to promote the events. And it had a mission to showcase what was happening in Milwaukee in a very positive way, too.
But you had a lot of flair, and you wouldn't necessarily name names.
Yeah.
That's what I was most amused by. Like, a person you'd recognize, maybe from Milwaukee PBS, may have had one too many drinks. Like, you had that fun
I don't remember ever saying that.
But it was a fun,
it was fun
column to read. And like you said, it was great to showcase what's happening all around our city. And
right, yeah.
So, okay, so after you were Doris of Boris and Doris, then?
Well, I guess to go back a little bit further, I started with event planning. I started planning festivals. And then I was the manager of Theater X for 3 years, the experimental theater company.
Legendary.
Yes, yes. And then I did a radio show, producer called Hotel Milwaukee, and that was on Wisconsin Public Radio for 8 years. That was fun.
What was Hotel Milwaukee about?
It was a program that showcased talent in Milwaukee, and it was with a five-act play. So it was a comedy play. It took place in a fictitious hotel, Hotel Milwaukee. So the show would go into rooms, like the Boom Boom Room. We would go into and hear some music, or the lounge, and we'd hear poetry. And it was great fun. There were recurring characters, and it was very popular.
Pam, I love that you can create these spaces with Hotel Milwaukee, with Chicken City, but you're really creating these worlds for people to enter and be entertained and maybe learn. And
I hope.
And it sounds like you're doing it again with Brava,
yeah,
a titillating history of bras,
yes,
because it is done in a playful way with animation and bringing people into this world and not just a lecture situation where here's what happened in 1885 with the bra.
I want to give a shout out to a few more people in Brava. One is Peter Batchelder, and he wrote two of the original songs. And he's the voice of Bob, and he sings two songs too. He's very talented. But most of all, my editor, John Phillips, he did all the animation, and he's just a fabulous editor. He found the music, he's created the music soundtrack, very talented. So I'm just very indebted to him.
So when you reached out to everyone who's involved in Brava, and you said, this is what I'm doing, a documentary about the history of the bra, but I'm going to do animation, and it's going to be pretty poetic and rhyme, and I want music. What's the usual response from the people in your creative circle?
Well, that was more for when I was asking for money.
Sure.
Yes.
It is a business. The hustle is real.
That's
for
the hardest
every
part
producer
of making a film is fundraising. So when I told people that it was a documentary that was lyrical, it was poetic, people looked a little askance and said, okay. But we have had some luck with fundraising, but still looking for more.
Of course. We want to see this. What is your ultimate hope for Brava, a titillating history of the bra?
Well, the other films, Finding Lauren is on YouTube, and Chicken City is on Amazon Prime. So I'm hoping that we might find a distributor for Brava, too, that will get it on various platforms.
In the meantime, you can see it on the big screen Thursday at the Oriental Theater, and it is going to be a full-on event, including a creative bra fashion show. So Pam Percy, filmmaker and creator of Brava, a titillating history of bras. This is your time to personally invite everyone to join you Thursday at the Oriental Theater. Tell us what will be happening, because it's not just a film screening. This is a full-on event.
Well, the doors open at 6 o'clock, and the program begins at 6:30. And the first part of the program is Mary for the Block by Victor DiLorenzo, a short film.
Founder of Violent Femmes and known for it to be a drummer and a creative musician.
And now he's a
watercolor painting. Yeah. And now he's a filmmaker.
And he's working on another film.
It's going to be a trilogy.
Yes.
He told me. So I love that this is a celebration of our local filmmaking creatives. So you get to see.
And these are two world premieres.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yes. So after that will be Brava, a titillating history of bras. And that runs about an hour. And following that...
A visual delight, I would say.
With music and poetry and...
And learning and love. All rolled into one.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's right, and love, and the love story.
Yes, exactly. And the grand finale of the evening will be a wild style show hosted by Karen Ballantyne, KV, who is just a hoot. And
big personality. I think that's the right MC for a fashion show full of creative bras.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And Jules Labes from Studio Den Jelly is helping him out, so that works. And we have a DJ, Sage. And there are 22 artists that have created bras with everything from feathers to ribbons to buttons, and they're wild. They're crazy.
Are these all local artists?
Local artists, yes. 22 of them.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes.
And you've also got the Odessa Fashion School involved.
They're going to be doing 4 of the bras.
That is just a wonderful showcase. So that's what I mean. Like, this is more, when you go, you're going to see this entertaining documentary, but you're going to get so much more and be stimulated by so much of the creativity that's happening here.
Yes, I think so.
Have you seen a preview of some of these creative bras?
I've seen them all. Yes. Oh, yes. They're fabulous. They're just fabulous.
What are you going to be wearing?
I haven't decided.
But you have to wear a creative bra if you're going to ask other people to.
Well, I don't want to look like the first horse in the parade, so I'm still trying to figure out if I should have some sense of decorum or I want to go wild. I haven't figured it out yet.
Oh, Pam, I lean all the way in. You're the hostess of this great theme party. I say lean all the way in.
Well, I'm thinking about it. I'm definitely thinking about it. And then the grand finale, at the end of the fashion show, the models will be parading around the Oriental Theater, and anybody that's wearing a bra will be invited to join in. So it'll be sort of like a Congo line of bras.
A cavalcade of bras.
Exactly.
A parade of bras.
Yes, exactly.
How inclusive and fun. And I also think, you know, people love to show it off.
Yes. People are getting very excited about wearing their creations. So I can't wait. We've been working on this film for about 1.5 years and planning this event for about 6 months. So I can't believe it's happening.
Now, you mentioned Theater X. I'm just going back. Did you know Victor DiLorenzo when he was at Theater X?
Yes, that's how I first met him.
Wow. So
way back.
That is wonderful to know that these roots of creativity go that deep. And it's also inspiring that, you know, Rolling Stones are going to put out a new album in July.
Yeah, I saw that.
It sounds great. Yeah. You know, it's like, and I overheard some of my coworkers here saying, really? Why do they still need to do it? It's like, creators create.
Yeah, you can't stop.
It's like, it sounds great, you know, so just, and like you were saying, that you've evolved in these different ways as an author, as a filmmaker, as creating these environments, whether it's on film or in an audio landscape, that doesn't stop. You are kept awake at night by your creative thoughts.
Unfortunately, I am.
Well, good luck.
Thank you so much.
And I wish you tons of fun
at
the Oriental Theater on Thursday. Everyone is invited.
Yeah.
And what's the best way to find out about Brava and this event?
Well, the only place to buy tickets is online at bravathefilm.com. Advance tickets, I should say. You can buy them at the door, but we are expecting quite a crowd. We've already sold 300 tickets. So we're urging people to buy them online and then skip the line and go right into the theater.
Yeah.
Bravathefilm.com.
Yeah, so you don't want to miss a minute of this amusement and stimulation.
Yes. Well, it's been so much fun to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
She is Pam Percy, now filmmaker, in addition to all of her creativeness. And the website, one more time.
BravaTheFilm.com.